Okay, everybody, sorry, parent down, pasuk down. Bahi is addressing Pliny Amlaini, and he's inquiring as to his intentions. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about the portion of land? Bahi deliberately leaves out all mention of Rus. And he leaves out mention of Rus's land. Vani Amarti, and I said, Egla Oznachalemra, I want to reveal something in your ears. Saying, it's a very interesting way of putting it. Egla Oznacha, I want to reveal something in your ears. Lamer saying, Kinei Negede Yeshrim, I want you to buy, purchase the field of Nami. Negede Yeshrim, in front of the ones that are sitting here, Venega Zikni Ami, and in front of the elders of my nation. Im Tigal, and if you do redeem, Gaol, then you redeem. Im La Yigal, but if you choose not to redeem. Hagidali, tell me. Veidar, so no. Ki Angel Laskaligal, because there's no one else besides you to do it. Vanehi Acharecha, and I'm next in line, I'm after you. Vayemer and Pliny Amarni said, Anochi Egal, I will redeem. It's interesting, Rav Moshe David Vali shows us the bias challenged Pliny Amarni. He said, Kenei Negede Yeshvim. I want you to buy. I want you to purchase Negede Yeshvim in front of those that are sitting here. The Rosh Tevis of those three words, Kenei Negede Yeshvim. What's the Rosh Tevis of Kenei Negede Yeshvim? Kuf Nun Hei. It's the word Kenei. So it says Kenei twice. It says Kenei openly. And you find the word Kenei in the Rosh Tevis. So it's a remes. That is a geula, there's a redemption which is obvious to the eye, it's revealed to the eye, something which can be seen. And then there's another geula, another redemption which you have to work hard to see, it's not there. It's more pnimi, it's more internal, and that's referring to the geula of the neshama of Nachlein. Now you can understand a couple other things in the pasuk. In the same pasuk it says, "Im tigal gaol, if you're going to redeem, you're going to redeem." Why does he have to say that twice? Why does Bais have to tell Pliny Amarni, if you're going to redeem, you're going to redeem? The Teretz is, he's referring to two redemptions. If you're going to redeem the field, and now you're going to redeem the neshama of Machlon. The neshamas of the dear departed ones by doing the mitzvah of Yibum. But all of this was done in a way that wasn't obvious. It was Ramazan. On the surface, he was just asking to buy back the fields. But in his words, all kinds of Ramazan that indicated that there was another redemption, another purchase. So it says the word Kenei in the pasuk twice, it says the word redeem in the pasuk twice. And now you can understand the third thing.
What's the Pshan and Kenei?
Because it says Kenei, which means by the field. And then the words Kenei Neged Hayeshvin, by opposite those sitting here on Rosh Tevis, Kenei.
I'm saying, but what's the...
Because there's a hidden purchase.
What?
Mary Rus. The hidden purchase. Then you can understand this phrase, which is a phrase which... It's not a common phrase. Vani Amarti, and I say, Egla Oznacha, I want to reveal your ears. He's telling him something. Why is he expressing it in this manner? I'm going to reveal your ears? So Ramesha David Vali says that he's being maramis to Pliny Amarni, that what I'm telling you now is only the revealed portion of my true intent. I'm revealing to your ears. I'm saying something which is out in the open, something which is in the tchum, in the region of revelation. This is something which is in the open. But there's something else which I'm not telling you. So there's three points in this pasuk where Yitzchak is telling Yamarni that there's more than meets the surface. He's leading up to something. It says Kanei twice, it says Geula twice, and it says that he's only telling them in the revealed part. The Maisha David Vali continues that he tells Pliny Almighty, Im Tigal, if you're going to redeem Gaal, then you redeem. Vim La Yigal, and if he won't redeem, Hagidali, tell me. We just changed from first person to third person. Im Tigal Gaal, so he's talking directly to Pliny Almighty. If you are going to redeem, then redeem. Sorry, second person. What's you? You is second person?
I is first, you is second,
and he is third. Oh, so it's in second person. In Tigal Gaol, if you're going to redeem, redeem. This is between me and you, Pliny Almighty. From La Yiga, but if he doesn't redeem, how can you tell me? That's so why is he referring to Pliny Almighty as a he? He's talking to Pliny Almighty. Why is he referring to him as a he? He has a name. He's a you. He's talking about him as if he's not there. Rav Moshe David Vali says that he's not talking to Pliny Almighty at all. I mean, this is also something which we saw in Gilas Esther. He could be standing in front of someone and talking to them and not talking to them. He's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing a geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing redemption. Redemption to Nami's family, redemption to the whole world. The process of redemption. And to be the one to bring that redemption, one has to be worthy. And by saying, I don't know, Pliny Almighty, if you're worthy. If you redeem, you redeem. You know, if you're the one, if you redeem, you redeem. But if you're not worthy, so Hashem is not going to let you do it. Hashem is involved in the process. If you're not worthy, Hashem is not going to give you the opportunity. And Hashem will cause you to refuse. You know, there's a mixture. It's about Pliny Almighty. It's about Pliny Almighty. So the way he reads the pasuk, in Tigal Gaal, if you redeem, you redeem, then you're worthy. You're roi lekach. If you're lo yigal, and if Hashem doesn't think that he is worthy, hagidali, Hashem is going to make you express it. Sim lo yigal means Hashem doesn't consider him worthy to redeem the world, to redeem the soul of Machlein, to redeem the family of Nami. Hagidali. Hagidali means that's going to be reflected in your expression. We're going to see what's going to come out of your mouth, and you're going to say you don't want. So this is another instance where because a person is not Zaycha, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give him the choice. There are certain times in a person's life, certain decisions that are withheld from him because he just doesn't deserve them. And what defines whether someone deserves something or not? It's based on his previous choices. People, based on their previous choices, could be faced with a situation where they don't have a choice. And it's not called taking away the Bechira, because Hashem didn't give them a choice because of certain choices they made before. So it all depends on choices. And if Pliny Almighty is not Roy, Hashem is going to cause him to choose not to take risks. Pliny Almighty says, I'm going to redeem. Why did Pliny Almighty say that? Pliny Almighty Rav Moshe David Vali says this. Pliny Amoni had no idea that Boaz was referring to marrying Ruth. The reason why he had no idea is because he thought that Ruth is Usser. She's from Moav. A convert from Moav is Usser to enter into Klal Yisrael. So Boaz could not possibly mean Ruth. And that's the reason why he consented to redeem the fields of Nami, because he thought that's all there is to it. All the hints, all the subscript, all the meta messages that Boaz was laying out for him, they all went unheeded, because he could not possibly imagine that Boaz was being Meramiz, that he should be Miyabim Rus. Rus is awesome. It's not shy. Writer. Pasuk Hei. Vayemen Boaz, and now Boaz says, "Biyem Kenais Kasada, the day you buy the field, Miyad Nami from the hands of Nami, Umeis Rusa Meyavia, and from the hands of Rusa Meyavia." Here's the first time he mentioned Rusa's name. In Pasuk Gimel, he talks about the field that Nami sold, and here he's talking about a field that Nami and Rus, to reinstate the property of Nami and Rus. Aishas Ameis, she is the wife of the dead, departed one. Kanisa, so then you bought. Lahakim Shem Ameis on Nachlosai, in order to reinstate the name of the dead one on his portion. A mere surface reading, a superficial understanding of this pasuk doesn't mention anything other than buying land. To buy the land to return it to the family, so that the name of the mace, they'll buy the land, return it to the family, and they'll call it Machlondville. You'll have the name of the mace on the land. It doesn't say anything about marrying. Not a word. Moshe David Vali explains that redeeming the field is the same as redeeming Rus. When someone lives in this world and has possessions, those possessions are very much a part of him. They're given to him by Hashem. If someone owns a piece of land, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that he should have that land. And there's something that he's supposed to do with it. There's some kind of destiny. There's a purpose for the land. And that destiny is ongoing. If he has a child, then the child takes over whatever role he had in the land. You know? The times of Elimelech. Elimelech had land. What was the purpose of the land? To feed Klal Yisrael in the time of hunger. That was the purpose. Hashem gave him, blessed him with Ashiras, with great wealth, and Hashem gave him property, great land holdings. What was the tachlis? To be a source of sustenance for Am Yisrael. To be a makar of chesed. Elimelech didn't view it that way. Elimelech viewed it as his land to be used for himself. He booked. He left. But everything that we own is given to us for a purpose. And that purpose is eternal. That's the site of Yerusha. Person dies, so he leaves over a child. The child is supposed to continue on where the father left off. And that's why he inherits all the things that the father had. Because in order for the child to continue on, to carry on where the father left off, he needs the kelim, he needs the tools to do so. If someone dies without children, so not only does he have no continuity, but anything that he owned has no purpose anymore. Because there's no one to do there's no one to use to do anything with his holdings, to do anything with his wealth. It's gone. It's just divided up. And it was given to him for a purpose, and that purpose came to an abrupt end with death. So when someone has a child, that's eternity for his soul, it's eternity for his body, and it's also eternity for anything he owned. So the three parts of a person. The guf, the neshama, and the property. So that's why Bayez is expressing Yibum. Bayez is talking about Yibum. He's talking about redeeming the soul of Machlon. But he's talking about it in terms of its property. Because redeeming the property is a part of the process of redeeming his soul. And of course, if he's going to redeem the property, so then he should redeem the property. He should redeem Ruth. And he should have a child, that the child will be the child of Pliny, Almighty, and Ruth. And the child will ultimately inherit Machlon's land, and he'll carry on from Machlon. So the Ramesha Daud Vali said the Bayez was being very clear. He is suggesting that Pliny, Almighty, do even to Ruth, but he expresses it through the vehicle of the redemption of Machlon's property. You see in this pasuk, the Rus is called Rus HaMayaviyah. Why would Bayez call Rus HaMayaviyah?
He's trying to throw him off.
Perfect. So the Igeres Shmos said he called the Rus HaMayaviyah because he wants Pliny HaMayni to be turned off. Bayez himself questions whether Pliny HaMayni is right for this. Bayez saw the Ramazim, he had Ruach HaKadosh, and he saw that he's supposed to be the one to marry Rus. He's the one that Akash Baruch had in mind.
Shouldn't he just wait for Hashem to do it, not him?
You know, this is something which is subtle. And he's not lying. It's the truth. He's saying, Rusa Me'avia, everything is Ramazim. We see that anything that was done on the level of Ramazim was part of Bayez Mahalach. Come out straight and say it, he wouldn't do it. But Ramazim, if something not Lahedya, the opening did. But Pliny HaMayni wouldn't want to redeem her. If you look in the Pasuk, it's pronounced, the word Kanisa is pronounced Kanisa, that you should buy the land, and you should buy Rus. He was trying to deter Pliny HaMayni from marrying her. Kanisa means that you should buy the land, you should buy Ruth, but it's spelled differently than it's pronounced. It's a Korean ksiv, and the way it's spelled is Kanisi. There's a yud at the end. If you look in the scroll, in the Tanakh, you'll see the word Kanisi, and the Messiah is to read it Kanisa. The Torah Tmima. So this is a remez that even though Bayez was going through the motions of offering Pliny HaMayni the opportunity to redeem Ruth, but he had himself in mind. He knew ultimately he's going to emerge with Ruth as a wife. It was just a question of going through these motions for propriety's sake, in order that it should be proper and there shouldn't be any shades of impropriety. It should be a total Kiddush Shem Shemayim, but he still knew he's going to be the one. So in the scroll, in the Nach scroll, it's spelled Kanisi, but we pronounce it Kanisa. Pasuk Vav. Vayemra Gael, and the Redeemer said, Le'uchal Le'gali, I can't redeem her to me. Panashkas is not lossy. It will utterly destroy anything that comes from me. It'll utterly destroy any continuity, my lineage, my heritage.
This is Pliny
HaMayni. Galacha, redeem for yourself. Ata, you, as gulasi, you redeem. Kileu chalidol, because I can't. Now this is very, very curious.
If he can't, and the reason he can't is because
she's Osir, so how could Bayez do it? Boaz. How could Bayez do it?
Because he paskin like, what's his name, and Boaz paskin.
That's Boaz. The answer. That is an answer. I'm going to destroy everything. Panaskas is not classy. There's a commentary of the Bach on Sefer Rus. The Bach says that Pliny Almighty knew the Bayez Paschim that she's mutter. The Sanhedrin just sat down and they Paschim that she's mutter. And we said this before, that they were sitting down deciding this very issue, that she should be mutter to enter Klal Yisrael because she's a female member of Mayav. So he knew that the halacha was she was mutter. Why then didn't he want to marry her? The Bach bases Pliny Almighty's fear on the Gemara Yevamos. He knew that this Beis Din paskin that she's mutter. But we know that a subsequent Beis Din that arises afterwards, it's a godly man of the Chacham of a minion, that the Sanhedrin of a later age is greater in number and greater in stature than the previous Beis Din. And then they paskin for carrot, they paskin that Rus, they re-examine the case, they bring new rayas from the Torah, and they paskin that someone from Mayav is Aster, even if they're female. So then the halacha is going to be decided according to the later Beis Din.
What is good Beis Din of 71? One poses to that.
There's a Beis Din of 120. You could add on to Dayanim. You could always have more Dayanim. So you know what? We're not trying to solve this with technicalities. There's something major going on here. The Gemara in Yevamos said that this actually happened, that they tried to overturn the Pesach. I mean, this is something which is, this was a real fear. There was real basis for this.
When?
No. Times of David HaMelech.
But didn't Shmuel also agree to this? Shmuel Navi. That's his based in also.
The Shmuel Navi convening a Beis Din at the time that this pasuk was said? I mean, this is, you know, he was afraid. So if so, so why do you suggest to Bayez that he should do it? Wouldn't Bayez have the same fear? Isn't he in the same danger? He's only worried about his lineage. The Mafreya, you know, if they decide in a later generation that Rus was illegitimate, so then all of Pliny Almighty's children are going to be illegitimate Jews. I mean, they'll be Jewish, but they won't be allowed to marry anyone. And any, you know, all the children won't be allowed to marry anyone. And he's suggesting the Bayez should do it. The Bach says that if Bayez does it, so then no Beis Din is going to convene afterwards to overturn this Pesach. Bayez was the Gadol HaDor. If Bayez relied on the Pesach, if Bayez was the one that actually went through with it, so then there's no Beis Din that's going to overturn it.
So then what's the deal with what we just said, the Gemara and Yevamos, that says that they did try to overturn it later on?
We're talking about what Pliny Almighty's reasoning is. Not,
oh.
There's no, that, you know, it doesn't necessarily connect with what the reality is.
He didn't think of that?
Well, he could have thought that no one would be
well,
that.
It's a better chance for Bayez. You know, it's a better chance. If another God like Bayez would do the Yibam, then they won't set up a Beis Din in order to overturn the Pesach.
So knew that.
He's not doing, I'm not saying that this is reality. This is what he thought. It's a Sfara. No one says that this is what really is going
to
happen.
We said he was very humble. So.
We said he was very modest. But he himself, he's not worthy. But you see in this pasuk, you see he did. He was in touch with who he was. Was this a real fear? Or was this not a real fear?
Oh, no.
The Biskarov says this was not a real fear because a Beis Din could only overturn a pasuk if it's based on a drasha from a pasuk or a kal v'chaymer. So then they can deal. They could bring their own drashas and they could slug up the Kal V'chaim and come up with limudim of their own. But this halacha that the Mayavia is mutter, that the female member of Mayav is mutter, is halacha Maishim Yisina.
Oh, this had lost the Masorah.
And it was reinstated, but the Masorah was a Masorah, was halacha Maishim Yisina, and halacha Maishim Yisina can never be overturned. By the greatest of Batei Dinim, by the wisest of Batei Dinim, it can't be overturned. So this was not a realistic fear.
Then what was he afraid of in the first place?
Because Pliny Almighty didn't know that.
He did.
The Gerei Shmuel explains this on a totally different level. Pliny Amidi says, Lo yuchal, I can't.
Who explains it?
The Gerei Shmuel. Lo yuchal is I can't. Panashik is nachlasi. I'll destroy myself. I can't. What does it mean I can't? Because Pliny Amidi was aware, he realized that marrying Rus is a lot more than just a marriage. It's a lot more than just taking in a widow and treating her like a wife and supporting her. It's being the one that through him a child would be born, there would be a tikkun from the neshama of Nachlein. That's not a natural occurrence. It's a very complicated process. To marry someone's widow, that the neshama of her dead husband is still present in her, have relations with her and produce a child, that's a tikkun for the neshama of the dead person. So le'ucha means that I'm not capable of doing such a thing. He told Boaz, if you want, if you're motivated, if you want, if your interest lies in helping the neshama of Machlein, then you do it, because I can't. I can't. Le'ucha. Because you have to be an Adam Gadol to do it. It's not just a biological process.
I thought just if he does the sins about the marriage, it works.
Well, you thought wrong.
But it doesn't say in the Torah that, you know, your brother has to be your most chosher
brother. The more kavana you have, the more l'shem shemayim you have, then the more likely you are of success. There's levels. There's levels of success that are possible.
Mm-hmm.
There's another pshat I saw, I don't remember where. There's a Gemara in Yavam, said, why don't we do Yibam nowadays? A brother dies without kids, and he leaves a brother over. Why don't we do Yibam nowadays? It's a mitzvah. So there's a Mandiyamah, Mesechus Yavamis, Abishol, Abal, Yivimta Shalayla Shem Mitzvah. If somebody does the mitzvah Yibam with his sister-in-law, but he's not doing it with Shem Mitzvah, he's doing it because he has personal interest, he's doing it because he has some kind of interest in marrying her, not for the sake of the mitzvah, Karav Liyas Avlad Mamzer. So then, that child that's born is a borderline mamzer. He's not a mamzer. He's a borderline mamzer because he's having relations with his sister-in-law. Someone has relations with his sister-in-law, the child is a mamzer. He's kind of close and the child is a mamzer. The only reason why it's permissible for one to have relations with the sister-in-law is in the presence of the mitzvah yibum. But if someone does the physical act without the proper intentions, so then physically he did not do an avera, because he did the mitzvah. But in the world of the neshama, he had relations with the nerva. So in the world of the neshama, the child has a shaykhus to be a mamzer. Pliny Amidi felt, he was afraid, it doesn't matter, it's just to do a mitzvah, shalei l'shem shamayim, to have relations with a woman, shalei l'shem shamayim, is not right. So you're right. So it's not currently as mamzer, because she's a pnuya and she's an unmarried woman. But it's having relations with a woman, shalei l'shem shamayim. And that's something which has ramifications in the child. Ooh. Whether there is severe as the child won't be a mamzer, but it has ramifications in the child. It's not good.
He didn't want to do it because he was afraid of, he wasn't...
He's afraid that he wouldn't be l'shem shamayim.
Because he was afraid that he didn't know the halacha, was his ashrana?
No, because she was, maybe she, you know, he was afraid that she's younger than him, she might be, he might be marrying her for reasons of his own. He wasn't on the madrega to do Yibam l'shem shamayim, and it's a very dangerous thing for the spiritual health of the child. And the Medrash says that he was pashut scared he was going to die. This, you know, she married Machlein, he died. Her sister married Kilian, he died. There's something about this family. So Penashkis is Nachlasi, I'm going to self-destruct, so he was referring to him personally. Him personally. I don't know what you mean. What?
I think Rus and Orpah weren't related if they're Magar.
There's a reason why Machlein died, and there's a reason why Kilian died. And he saw a link that they both married two women from Nayiv.
Well, it could be from his family, though. Maybe his family called the side.
Yeah, well, Plenty of Money wasn't going to take a chance. Because I'll say that they did die because they married Listen Harper. I mean, in this case, Plenty of Money was right. I mean, you know, because I'll
well,
say they died.
They married him. Not the
true. So he's not going to do the same thing and marry the same woman. Pasuk Zayin. V'zayis lefanim b'Yisrael. And this is a minhag from a previous era. Lefanim means it's a minhag, a long-standing minhag in Klal Yisrael, al gula. When one redeems, Baal Tamura, or when one makes exchanges, Lakaim Kol Davar, in order that everything should be firmly established, Shalav Ishnalo, each the participant slips off his shoe, V'nafal Ri'eyu, and he gives it to his fellow man, V'zayis Atuda B'Yisrael, and that's the way things are done in Klal Yisrael. This is not chalitza. This is what we call kinyan sudah. The Gemara learns out from this pasuk that a way of being kind to something is by the purchaser taking a vessel, a keli, and handing it over to the seller. The seller takes the keli, holds on to it, takes possession of it, holds on to it, and then he can return the keli back to the purchaser.
Chalipin,
Sudr, and that's this pasuk. We learn out from here. The fact that the pasuk used a shoe, so that's an example of a keli. It has to be a complete keli, not a half a shoe, not the ink cartridge from a pen. It's got to be a whole keli.
But shoe?
What?
Was this connected to
what we said
about shoe before?
Right, so that's the plenius already. We need to explain the pasuk shah first.
Which Gemara is this?
There's a Gemara in the fifth paragraph above Mitzvah.
Shouldn't there be two shoes because you need two shoes, like, to be useful for anything?
But that's on one level. That's understanding things on one level. We spoke before about shoes. We said in Chazal, the neshama of a person is the person, and the body of the person covers over the lowest part of the neshama. The contact, the point of contact between the body and the neshama is the lowest, least spiritual light part of the neshama is encased within the body, and the point of chibur is in the blood. The blood is the place where the lowest part of the neshama meets the body and is contained within the body. So if the neshama is the person and the body covers over the lowest part of the neshama, the body is called the shoe. And this is what, you know, how we understand when Moshe Rabbeinu was by the burning bush, he was by the snah. So Hashem told him, Shal Nalecha Mi'aragalecha, remove your shoes from your feet. He's telling him that now is the time, Moshe Rabbeinu, now is the time to raise yourself to a higher level of existence, not to view yourself as a physical presence. That's just the shoe. When people wear shoes, do they walk around thinking that they're a shoe? Because you wear shoes, that means you're a shoe? Are we shoes? We're people. And if we have a body, that does not mean necessarily just because we have a body that we're a body. We are not bodies. We are souls. The body is the shoe. It's just a covering over the lowest part of the soul. So he told Moshe Rabbeinu, take your shoe off, which means to remove your physicality. Shed yourself of your physical, mundane existence. Come up to a higher level so you can speak. And by Yeshua, when Yeshua spoke to the Malach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also told Yeshua to remove his shoes. The Malach instructed Yeshua to remove his shoes. And Kehanim, when they do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, they do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash without their shoes on.
When Mordechai showed the bottom of his shoes, is also like symbolic of this thing?
I don't know. I mean, Mordechai was showing it to Haman. He was showing Haman that he's a slave. It's not the same. That's a different idiom. The sefer called Ma'or V'Shemesh that says that this Yisrael is contained within this pasuk. He said externally, Boaz was buying a field. He was buying it off of Pliny HaMoni. Pliny HaMoni was the Goyal. Pliny HaMoni is the Redeemer. And Boaz is buying the right to redeem Mami's field and Ruth's field off of Pliny HaMoni. So Boaz took a shoe off, he gave it to Pliny HaMoni. And in return, he got the right to buy the field. But that's only externally. But internally, he's getting a lot more than a field. It has nothing, you know, it has nothing to do with Gashmias. It has nothing to do with a physical field. It has nothing to do with a physical marriage. It's purely in the area of the soul. Boaz is redeeming the soul of Nachlein. Boaz is giving continuity to the soul of Nachlein. I mean, as the psukim go on, we're going to see the importance of that. It's not just a chesed to Machlein. I mean, that alone is a tremendous, tremendous act of chesed. It's chesed to the whole world. Because the neshama of Machlein, the goddess chicken, resulted in the birth of Ayvad and Yishai and David HaMelech and Mashiach. So this act of chesed called Yibam is redemption to the entire world. It's integral for the world to come to its completion for Machlein's neshama to have a tikkun. And that has nothing to do with Gashmis. Nothing whatsoever to do with Gashmis. The world has to be redeemed on a spiritual level. So the Ma'or V'Shemesh reads the pasuk, V'zayis lefanim b'Yisrael. What does the word lefanim mean? Pnimius. Lefanim means, let's go beneath the surface. Let's go deep. Let's go internally. Let's go into the region, into the area that we can't see with the eye. V'zayis lefanim b'Yisrael. This is the internalism. This is the pnimius of Yisrael. Ala geula. We're going to redeem. This is a process of redemption. Ba'al tamura. L'kayim kol davar. This is the basis of everything. Shalav ishnalei. Remove your gashmius. Remove your shoe. Remove your physicality. Don't look at yourself like a physical being. Don't look at your acts as pure, limited, physical acts that they only have an impact in this world. Our acts have ramifications way beyond this world. Shalavish Nalei, raise yourself up. Become a big person. Be a greiser mensch. Realize how great you are. V'zayis atura b'Yisrael. And that's testimony of what Klal Yisrael is. Say this. Okay, but what's the Tuesday? Mitzvah will continue tomorrow.